The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
My name is Jennifer Powell. I am a columnist with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. Today, I will be discussing two biomarkers found to predict MS onset in people with optic neuritis. An antibody analysis has identified two biomarkers that can be used to predict the development of multiple sclerosis in people with optic neuritis, a study reports. Further research is, however, required to validate these findings and assess the value of these biomarkers in MS development. The study, identification of two highly antigenic epitope markers predicting multiple sclerosis in optic neuritis patients, was published in the journal eBioMedicine. Optic neuritis is characterized by inflammatory damage to the optic nerve that sends visual signals to the brain. About 20% of people with MS experience optic neuritis as the first symptom, but not all of those with optic neuritis develop MS. Thus, biomarkers are important to help identify those with optic neuritis who may or may not develop MS. Like in MS, the immune system in optic neuritis attacks the fatty coating called the myelin sheath on nerve fibers. However, the specific molecular targets, epitopes of antibodies released by immune cells that lead to myelin damage, remain largely unknown. To find these molecular targets, a company called Protobios in Estonia has developed a technology known as mimotope variation analysis. Here, a gene that carries instructions for the production of a protein of interest is inserted into the gene that encodes a protein displayed on the surface of a phage. Instead of displaying whole proteins, MVA technology uses a small protein fragment called peptides of 12 amino acids in length. Then, a library containing millions of unique phage-developed peptides is mixed with a small sample of fluid isolated from patients, typically blood and cerebrospinal fluid, the fluid surrounding the brain and the spinal cord. Displayed peptide amino acid sequences that bind disease-related antibodies are isolated, identified, and compared with proteins in a database to find those targeted by the same antibodies. In the study, researchers at Protobios, in collaboration with investigators at the University of Helsinki in Finland, applied NVA technology to samples isolated from people with optic neuritis and multiple sclerosis to help find molecular targets that can be used as biomarkers to predict optic neuritis progression to MS. The first phase of the study included a discovery cohort of 24 Finnish patients who were diagnosed with optic neuritis and had never been treated. Of these, 15 were subsequently diagnosed with relapsing remitting MS, the optic neuritis MS group, while 9 did not develop MS. Also included were 38 healthy controls. A library of 20 million unique peptides was identified, which had defined sets of peptides common to blood and cerebrospinal fluid samples from the same individual and peptides shared between individuals. The analysis revealed two major groups of closely related epitope peptides with similar amino acid sequences developed as clusters A and B. In blood samples, cluster A epitopes were most abundant in optic neuritis patients and controls compared with on-MS patients, whereas a trend of more abundant cluster B epitopes was found on MS and on patients and controls. In cerebral spinal fluid, clusters A and B were similarly detected in both patient groups compared with controls. A comparison with database proteins found cluster A matched an epitope on the cytomegalovirus, a virus associated with MS. In contrast, peptodes of cluster B were close mimics to an epitope found in the Epstein-Barr virus, also linked to MS risk. These findings were supported by clinical data showing the highest anti-CMV response was observed in the on cohort and controls, while all study participants in the discovery cohort were positive for anti-EBV antibodies. Moreover, all individuals who had antibodies against clusters A or B epitopes were positive for CMV and EBV. The next phase of the study included a validation cohort of 20 treatment-naive Finnish patients with relapsing-remitting MS, out of which 10 had optic neuritis and 10 exhibited other symptoms. Also included were 448 controls. All 20 patients had roughly similar responses to cluster A and B epitopes, although those with optic neuritis onset differed slightly from controls. Combining findings from both groups, clusters A and B epitopes specifically discriminated between diagnostic cohorts and controls. The analysis correctly identified those who developed MS with on-onset with an accuracy of 74.61 at a 75% sensitivity, the likelihood the test will find patients who progress to multiple sclerosis, and 74.22% specificity, the likelihood the test will identify patients who will not progress. Overall, in this study, we present an unbiased antibody epitope discovery strategy that resulted in delineation of two epitope biomarkers, stratifying subjects on and those with MS after on from healthy controls and patients without any demyelinating disease, the researchers wrote. Specific antibody epitope biomarkers of MS exist in the blood of patients at different stages of disease, they added. Further validation of selected two epitope biomarker analysis from this initial study are warranted to assess their exact value in MS development.
Coming up next, perspectives from MS News Today columnist Jesse Ace.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hey, I'm Jesse Ace, a columnist for MS News Today, and today I'll be reading an article from my column Disabled to Enabled: How Players Present and Perceive Disability on The Circle. Open Circle Chat. Have you ever seen the reality TV series The Circle? It was first shown in the UK on Channel 4, and there's now a US version on Netflix. It's well worth a watch. I started watching it because of the psychological premise. It's similar to Big Brother in that strangers move into separate apartments in the same building and they undertake challenges set by the circle. The most popular player at the end of the game wins £1,000 or $1,000. The unique part of the show is that the players never meet. They only interact via the circle app on the monitor screens in their apartments. The circle is like a social media platform that encourages players to rate each other every day. The pressure from being publicly rated leads to a lot of brown nosing and fakery. Because everyone interacts through this platform, nobody knows if the person they're speaking to is being genuine or being what's called a catfish. A catfish is someone posing as a different person. It's astounding. The top-rated players are known as the influencers, and they have the power to block another player. The lowest-rated players leave, more players join, and the group dynamic shifts. New partnerships align once again. I bring up The Circle because a couple of players on the second series in the UK had disabilities, and they came out in very different ways. It made me think about how people present their disabilities in real life. One player, Georgina, is a beautiful young woman with Crohn's disease. From the first day she set up a profile, she was out and proud, calling herself a proud Crohn's warrior in her bio. The reactions from the other players were very impressive. Most said that she was brave for opening up about her illness, but one person thought attention-seeking was her way of attracting votes. Another player named Paddy has cerebral palsy and uses crutches. Because his disability is so visible, he decided to keep it secret in the circle. Paddy only shared photos of his face and of him sitting down so that he wouldn't give anything away. The players assumed that he was a normal guy, and he made lots of friends in the circle because of his infectious personality. As soon as he came out about his disability, people flooded the circle chat with messages of support and compassion. The program showed other players crying and saying, "Why didn't you just tell us sooner?" He said that he waited because people usually see his disability first and judge him for it when they meet him. He wanted to see what it would be like for people to get to know him without his crutches. He came out so honestly with people in the group. They automatically assumed that he was a real person rather than a catfish, and didn't think that he was doing it for attention like one person thought about Georgina. What I found interesting was that people reached out to these disabled players with understanding and shared that they knew someone else with a disability. I've also experienced this reaction after I've told people about my multiple sclerosis. How do you disclose your disability to others? If you had the choice, would you hide your disability or be honest about it?
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.